Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat, writes Mark. Isn't that a succinct description of the lives of many people today? In pre-pandemic normality, young professionals munch on vending machine fare while working at their desks, too busy to pause for a real lunch. Teens grab a bagel for breakfast on the way out the door to school. Parents and children drive through a succession of fast food restaurants between after-school lessons and sport practices. Commuters sip double lattes on the early morning drive, gnaw at baby carrots between meetings, and pick up takeout on the way home. Toddlers graze on cereal pieces and other portable finger foods so that meal schedules need not control the timing of family shopping trips. And so here's the question for busy Presbyterians in these dog days of summer. Do we plan to return to our pre-pandemic normal but often unhealthy lives, or will there be a new normal for us this fall? Jesus helps us focus on this question in our text this morning. Jesus had sent his disciples out two by two on their first mission venture. He gave them special instructions on what to do, to take nothing along but sandals and one tunic. No bread, no money. They would be literally on their own. And he assured them that they had the authority to do their job. The mission was hugely successful. They had cast out demons as he instructed and healed the sick. And by now, by the time we reach chapter 6 of Mark's gospel, they had returned to him. They were exhausted, but energized by the prospect of reporting their success to Jesus and to one another, swapping stories about what they had seen and done and experienced. Perhaps because of their exhaustion, and because perhaps of their grief at the recent beheading of John the Baptist, not to mention Jesus' own anxiety about what lies ahead for himself and his followers, Jesus proposes a Sabbath. Come away to a quiet place all by yourselves and rest a while. And so they head down to the coastline of the Sea of Galilee, to that deserted place. I have in mind a lovely beach and a grove of trees, grass, shade, a place to fish and build a fire, eat good food, have a glass of wine, talk late into the night, and sleep in late. Sabbath rest. Sabbath is deep in the Hebrew tradition, a fundamental biblical idea. God works for 6 days in the creation story, and on the seventh day, God rests. God's rest is, in fact, part of the magnificent mystery of creation. Creation itself requires rest to be completed. God knows when to stop and rest. God knows how to step back and take a deep breath and enjoy what God has created. In the New Testament, all four of the Gospels report that Jesus regularly took some alone time where he would retreat to recharge his batteries. Rest and self-care were central to his mission and to ours as well. But wait, here comes the crowd, reports Mark. The crowd had seen Jesus and the disciples in the boat and deduced where they were headed, so they're running along the shore, scrambling, tripping, and falling, old ones and young ones, families with their children, grandparents on crutches, several hundred of them now, keeping one eye on the boat and the other eye on the destination, that deserted place, and they arrive before the boat does. As Jesus steps out of the boat, there they are, waiting for him. So much for any retreat. For me, the big surprise in this text is that the Sabbath Jesus and his disciples need never happens. Jesus and his band of disciples were hoping for blessed rest at last, but the world, as it so often does, intrudes. When he sees what is happening, Jesus abruptly changes the agenda. Stepping out of the boat and seeing the crowd, he suddenly feels compassion for them. The gathered people seem to him like sheep without a shepherd, another rich Jewish biblical image. Men and women lost, wandering aimlessly, without plan or purpose, hungry for food, but also for meaning. He greets them, welcomes them, speaks with them, listens to them. He looks at the crowd and has compassion. And so the Sabbath rest agenda is set aside instantaneously. The disciples see an unwanted, unwelcome interruption. Jesus sees sheep without a shepherd. In this case, compassion trumps the disciples' needs and their exhaustion. I love the vignette the late Henry Nouwen, Dutch priest and theologian, told about himself. When he first came to this country to teach, I believe, at Notre Dame, Nouwen said that he was surprised at the way American professors always keep their doors open. "Aren't you constantly interrupted?" he asked his colleague. Don't you get any work done?" And his colleague responded, "Henry, your interruptions are your work." A bit of truth relevant for all busy people, I think, certainly for me. And so as this little vignette draws to a close, the gospel writer Mark strikes a note of ambiguity. "Set yourselves apart for Sabbath rest," he says, "and at the same time, there will be times when you will need to set aside your own retreat when others need your care. Such is the life of Christian disciples, then and now." My favorite part of this episode, which doesn't appear in our reading this morning, is the disciples' reaction to the sudden disappearance of the lovely promise for a quiet place to rest, a leisurely dinner, and a good night's sleep. They do what many of us do every day, what I do as I walk past the homeless man on Capitol Square asking for money for a sandwich or a room to spend the night. The disciples ask Jesus to send the crowd away so they can return to the rest they desperately want and need. Instead, Jesus does the most remarkable, compassionate thing. In the gospel story that follows, he feeds the crowd in an act so central that it shows up in each of the four gospels. And so this episode becomes a commentary on what it means to be busy, overworked Christians striving to follow Jesus. It happens in 1,001 decisions, small and large, every single day, about what takes commanding precedence in our lives. At the same time, it does raise an important question. When does our busyness become unhealthy to oneself and one's family and one's loved ones? It's a tension, I believe, that each of us must continually revisit. The pandemic has provided all of us an important lesson here. We know of plenty of families who were so overworked by working at home and homeschooling their children that they found no time for Sabbath rest. Stress set in and exhaustion. And we know of plenty of older people who may live alone, for whom the last 16 months were nothing but rest and isolation. That too can be a dangerous path. Forced to retreat to a quiet place for over a year can lead to depression and loneliness and unhealthy ways to medicate our pain. Jesus, I think, is aiming us all towards a better balance in our lives. It is possible to work hard and to give life to others, and at the same time, to give life to ourselves in Sabbath rest. Jesus constantly lived out that tension and was able to do both. As we contemplate returning to some version of pre-pandemic normality this fall, the invitation from our text this morning is to follow his example. Amen.